You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Everybody travel safe. Take a moment to remember the real reason behind the weekend. Enjoy your family and friends. Eat too many brats. And tune in this afternoon to the Todd Alba Show. Live from my back deck here on Lake Wissota. What could possibly go wrong? Going to be a good time from 2 to 4 today. A lot coming up here. We're going to continue our series of interviews with the three candidates for state Democratic Party chair. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, Joe Zepecki yesterday, William Garcia on in our next half hour to get one more round of conversations with them to ask why Democratic Party members in county parties all across the state, when they gather in Wisconsin Dells next month, should pick them to succeed Ben Wickler, who's stepping down as a state Democratic Party chair. And, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here, too. So we'll talk about things in the news health-wise and a couple of important health notes, especially dealing with pregnancy. So we have the official OBGYN of the show here to talk to us all about that. First, the official meteorologist for the show is here to talk about the sunshine. And Kristen, you said the nicest thing about Brittany when you first woke up this morning.
It was just the truth. I woke up and I looked out the window and there was beautiful, bright sunshine coming in. And the first thing I thought was Brittany Merlot.
How great is that? It's like these two little rays of sunshine here.
Well, she also gets it when it's raining too. So, I mean, it's both sides.
So you got to give it to her that way. And again, we're all acknowledging it certainly could be warmer, but if it's going to be, you know, cool and sunny versus normal temperatures and rainy, I think we know where most of us are going to come down on that, Brittany.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, we can deal with the frost advisories far up north, probably still again tonight and then Saturday night before those stop. And I think our temperatures are going to warm up enough to where frost is no longer a concern. So, yeah, paddling a crisp morning for a ton of sunshine, I'll take the trade. We do have warmer temperatures on tap by next weekend. But for this weekend, we're just going to sit here nice and comfortable, bright and beautiful, calm winds, and no rain in the forecast until Tuesday. Maybe places far northwest could see some rain trying to move in late Monday night. But otherwise, we're looking at sunshine on repeat, temperatures slowly getting more mild. We'll be in those mid-50s far east by Lake Michigan and far north today to about the low 60s far west. And then tomorrow, we're going to put that on repeat. Then by Sunday, Monday, we're looking at mid to upper 60s, a few 70s across the state. And we're going to hold that into next week. And like I said, getting even warmer after that. But I'll take the dry conditions, comfortable conditions, and a good long weekend. I'm excited.
I like that. Nice, comfortable, breezy, and beautiful sunshine on repeat.
Yes.
Let's just put that forecast on repeat. That would work
out
really well. Yeah.
So plus you mentioned 10 degrees.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Add that. That would be a good part. You mentioned that you're going to have a family that you're hosting this weekend. Are you going to be doing some grilling for that?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to be grilling. We're going to be having a campfire, too. That fire danger is finally low across the state, so you can do that without worry. So we're going to cook some meals on the fire. Oh, we love doing that kind of stuff. What else? Probably doing some kayaking. Swimming. A little too cold for that.
Yeah, well.
But, of course, you know, exploring the great outdoors. What about you guys?
Having just come off vacation, we're going to take it really easy. We're still kind of catching up on the jet lag, you know, going to bed a little earlier than we normally would, trying to get that body clock back on track here. So a lot around the house. Because there's been so much to jump into back here, I haven't really fully unpacked yet. There's still a suitcase.
Seriously.
And we did the laundry, but then there's so much laundry to put away. You don't even want to know what the closet looks like right now. So, but there's going to be some grilling. There's going to be a little fire pit going and the pontoon's in. So maybe we'll just put on a hoodie and go for a little jaunt that way. Kristen, how about you? Are you going to be doing big plans or relaxing things?
Well, after that, I think I'm going to come to Lake Wasota and bring a pack of brats. And when should I be there?
Well, Todd's show starts at 2. So as soon as you can get in the car, the better. You
know? All right. I got to go. I'm kidding.
Good. No,
Kristen, pick me up. Let's go.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'm liking it. The more, the merrier. And Parker, you said you are calling a baseball game.
Yeah. Calling Super Regionals at UW-Whitewater tomorrow. And then I think possibly doing something at my aunt and uncle's on Memorial Day.
Super Regionals? What is that?
Super Regionals, yeah. They changed the format a couple of years ago. So now Super Regional, if you win that, you go to the Final Eight, which is the College World Series.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Gotcha. They're getting close.
This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're like number 3 in the country, so we're hopeful. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. Robin Tigerton coming down. I forgot to mention I have a new job for the Village of Tigerton, watering plants along Main Street. So that's great. And he wants to second the notion that Kristen and Brittany are sunshine even on the dark and dreary days. Thank you, Rob, for that. Always appreciate the comments. And Brittany, you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Take it easy. Hey, you can always get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We have our daily newsletter. We have our new Sunday morning newsletter that I write with a look at the week in Wisconsin politics. And there's a sports newsletter that Christina Laurier is putting together once a month. And I was looking at her social media posts this week, and they include a note about another hike in ticket prices if you want to see UW women's volleyball. But well, yeah, that's costing more money. It is also a reflection of the success of the program and also the whole name, image, licensing thing where college athletes are, you know, getting paid now. So a general admission season ticket that cost $60 back in 2021 and $150 last year will now be $225 in the new season. So, again, another chunk of change, but to see a team that is one of the very best in the country. So, for more sports stories like that from Christina Laurier, sign up for that newsletter as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen, I want to talk to you in a bit about, you know, RFK Jr. and the, you know, the terrible impact on American health that it portends. But there were two notes on the calendar, kind of these national awareness days, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk about pregnancy and women's health. And so we're going to cover both of them. I think it was Wednesday was World Preeclampsia Day, which deals with high blood pressure. And then today happens to be International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. And that one says here, it's an international day to spread awareness about a childbirth-related injury that affects women primarily in poor economic regions. Medically, it's described as a hole in the birth canal that occurs due to prolonged labor without medical intervention and other factors during childbirth. The United Nations Population Fund says obstetric fistula is one of the most severe and tragic injuries that can occur during childbirth. I was not as aware of that as I was preeclampsia. And again, it's not to scare people, but I feel like we always have to remind people pregnancy is not the easiest thing for people, and does not always have the Norman Rockwell kind of outcome.
No, I think we tend to have this very sunny idea of what pregnancy is. It's joyful, there's a baby involved, and in many cases that is true, but there are lots of things that can go wrong. Preeclampsia is actually fairly common in the United States. It's almost always associated with a blood pressure issue. It's a blood vessel issue. So it can present in lots of different ways. There can be vision changes. It can be a terrible headache. It can be a liver problem or problems with your kidneys. But regardless, we tend to see this toward the end of pregnancy, and the cure is to deliver the baby. Because once the baby is out, people tend to get better. Having said that, though, people can develop preeclampsia after the baby is out because of pregnancy-related and hormonal changes. So this is one of the reasons why we need care for our moms in the postpartum period. Women can die of preeclampsia, of high blood pressure issues in the postpartum period. This is complex. It is probably the most studied condition associated with pregnancy, and we haven't figured it out yet. I don't think there's one thing that causes it, but this is the reason why towards the end of your pregnancy, we have you come back so often to check your blood pressure, and we're so careful about asking about headaches and weird symptoms, because it is fairly common especially in this country.
Yeah. So between that and the obstetric fistula, it again, just I can't underscore enough, being married to an OBGYN as well, don't skip those appointments. I mean, now for Sherry, she'll say, well, when they have a no-show, I've got extra time to dictate my charts. I mean, there's that. But you'd much rather have that person in and continue to be monitored and to get prenatal care at all. There's still a troubling number of people who come in and say, yeah, I've been pregnant for the past, 38 weeks. I couldn't afford to come in or whatever until now. It still happens.
Right. I couldn't get that. People have so many barriers to care, which is why we need to reduce the number of barriers. And actually, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is changing the way that we deliver prenatal care right now. And for a very long time, it's been come in every month until you get to the middle of your pregnancy. And then it's every 2 weeks. And then it's every week after that. Well, now we're starting to look at things like telehealth and what is your general health? What are your risk factors? How often do you actually need to come in? Can we send you home with a blood pressure cuff so you can check your blood pressure at home? So we've really reimagined how we deliver prenatal care so that it works for our patients and removes barriers, especially in a time when people are really struggling to get access to healthcare in places like rural areas.
And again, it underscores the notion of why you need that Medicaid expansion for increased coverage for women postpartum instead of 60 days to 1 year. And 48 states have done it, just us in Arkansas. And in both cases, you've got Republicans in those states that are blocking it. Not all Republicans. In Wisconsin's case, it's one Republican. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is stopping that measure from coming up for a vote, which would pass overwhelmingly if it did. And we say that again because you really can't pester your legislator enough, nicely, to say, get this bill passed, get the speaker to put it up for a vote.
Yeah, and to be honest, in Arkansas, they at least did some things. They didn't pass postpartum extension, but they did some things to make it easier for moms to get care. And in Wisconsin, we've done nothing. In fact, we're making it harder for them to get birth control. We're making it harder for them to get abortion care. We're making it harder for women to get postpartum care. And let's talk about childcare. We're making it impossible for people to get childcare. At no point in the spectrum of getting pregnant, having a baby, or taking care of your children are Republicans making it easy for us.
No. And that, again, it's incredible to think that that caucus, which has women in it and all the women that they represent, that they still stand in the way of women's health in this way. But that is exactly what they're doing. So that's why we continue talking about expanding Medicaid coverage, that it isn't just some kind of welfare handout, that this is good public policy that, again, is happening everywhere else but here. So, Kristen, thank you for telling us more about that. I want to tell folks before we get to the break that you can win Milwaukee Brewers tickets. It's Friday. We're going to be doing this most Fridays throughout the season. Text a keyword. Each Friday we'll give you one that you text in using the Civic Media app. And then one entry is drawn statewide to win four tickets to a specific game. In this case, it's next Tuesday's game against the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets to next Tuesday's game if you text the word radio using the Civic Media app, radio, R-A-D-I-O. If you do that, you will be in the running for potentially winning four tickets to next Tuesday's game. The Brewers were winners 8-5 in Pittsburgh last night, and they will do it again this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then they'll play Pittsburgh again Saturday and Sunday. Still ahead this hour, William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
State Democratic Party chair candidate William Garcia joins us in just about 15 minutes here on these mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here now in her, that's the Green Bay Packer shirt, I assume, a green shirt.
No.
Oh, no?
Green Bay Bicycle Collective.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And then you've got your green thumb because you had your mulch, and now you've got your green journal that every OBGYN gets out your Green Bay Packer mug. You're just all green.
Mm-hmm.
All green. Yep. The journal that we were talking about, pregnancy and health and everything, and there's more stuff than anybody could possibly take in, but you try to take in what you can. The Journal of the American Medical Association, the Obstetrics and Gynecology Journal that you were holding up right now. There's no shortage of, you know, peer review cases that you have to do. There is so much behind the scenes, not just going to med school, but everything beyond that, which is why I think when you hear us with a certain tone in our voice that just some politician can come in and say, I know what's best, why it really gets under the skin of doctors and patients and allies and everybody like that. And it just, again, doesn't make sense that any politician who often does not represent a majority of their constituents, you know, because so many people don't vote, it just, it gets to you sometimes, Kristen. And
yeah,
I'm glad to have you here to bounce it off of.
Thanks. It gets to me. I mean, RFK, I don't know if you saw his testimony with Susan Collins, where he was doing all this finger pointing. He was testifying in the Senate and he was blaming her for all the years of the American culture that where they perpetuated bad things for our health. And I was thinking, buddy, you were in the Senate too, as all this stuff was happening. And yeah, we have issues in this country. There is no question. We need cleaner water. We need safer food. We need better environments for our health. Our health is holistic. But his perspective on vaccines and his approach to the measles outbreak, I think, has been really scary. And again, I'm waiting for that to come barreling down on us as we see more and more measles cases popping up in a state like Wisconsin, where we are so profoundly under-vaccinated. But it's not just that, it's whooping cough. We're seeing record numbers of whooping cough as that's on the rise. There are so many things that we're just at the beginning stages of because he's not serious about our public health. And I'm incredibly concerned. Science, medicine, we've got to stay up with that. As physicians, we've got continuing education we've got to do. We've got to know what's happening in the world because things are always changing. But that is not something that RFK is on top of. And again, he doesn't have the health and well-being of the public in mind.
No. When he says that he's going to put out these recommendations about chronic disease and the health of the food supply, there is just no level of credibility or trust there to say that it will be anything other than something that will continue to set back food safety and good nutrition and, you know, promote a lot of quackery, quite frankly, all in the name of fighting things that he's just speaking. How do I say this properly on the radio? Out one's tush, shall we say, about the way that this goes. And again, these are generational things. It takes a long time to build something. It takes much less time to tear it down. A culture of getting vaccinated against disease, getting off of oil and coal, immigrant labor. I mean, we're going to face a generation here of, a worker shortage as a result. The war on education, this latest thing against Harvard and saying you can't take in international students. Those international students we were already in danger of not getting them anyway because they're worried that they're going to get murdered, you know, because of our gun culture here. Now with the political culture, we're going to continue to see international students go away. That was frankly, Kristen, our only hope for getting doctors in rural areas, was continuing to educate and train students from overseas who wanted to come to the U.S. who now don't think so strongly about coming to the U.S.
We have a profound lack of physicians and qualified providers, even PAs and nurse practitioners, to work in rural areas. It's not going to get any better. And then when you look at these Medicaid cuts and the impact that that will have on rural hospitals, half of rural hospitals across the country right now are living hand to mouth. They are not making ends meet, and they depend on Medicaid. So when Medicaid funds start to go away, they aren't going to be able to keep their doors open. And that means that people who live in those areas where I've worked in places where the hospital is the biggest employer, people go there for lunch. They go to visit their friends in the long-term care facility. And that is like the hub of the community. If that hospital goes away, that town dies. The economy withers. And then where do people go? So this, the impact of the decision that was made yesterday and what happens after that could be absolutely profound, especially in our rural communities where they're already struggling.
What is coming up this weekend on the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show?
Oh, Pat, I'm so excited. We're talking about childcare. So right. I've got Mayor Ryan Sorensen from Sheboygan. We've got Mike Close, one of the elders, Leah Hibble, she's on the school board there, and Angel Berry, she runs a daycare center that does beautiful work in Sheboygan. We talk about childcare counts, what it's going to mean for them, both from a provider perspective and a parent perspective, and actually from an economic perspective across the city of Sheboygan. It's an awesome episode. Strongly encourage that you tune in. WGBW, WISS, 3 o'clock tomorrow and Sunday, and on the Civic Media app.
That's right. Got to use that app, that same app where you can text in radio right now for your chance to win Brewers tickets, 4 tickets to next Tuesday's game. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more about the rules. I was flying back from Portugal on Monday. Next Monday is Memorial Day, a holiday. So having you here today, it finally feels complete. Like I'm back home now. I'm back into all my usual routines, all my friends that I'm reconnecting with. So thank you for making a little time here before what I hope is a really relaxing weekend.
I hear you saying that I complete you.
You most certainly do, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk next Friday then.
Sounds great.
Unless, of course, you show up here, in the next few hours.
I mean, I got a great way to wrap up. Yeah. I got brats in the fridge. Let's go.
Todd Alba and I would be ready. I'll take the boat out just for that. See you later.
See ya.
All right. Coming up next, William Garcia will talk about his race for State Democratic Party chair. Thanks again for joining us here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back on this Friday morning, May 23rd, 2025. This is Up North. This is what was once called Up North News Radio. See, this is what Jane Mattiner does, is all this time that I have been saying that the thing that used to be called Twitter, I now need to call this the thing that used to be called Up North News Radio. We are hoping to hear from William Garcia, candidate for state party chair, in just a sec. I had to email him the correct link. We changed links when we moved to a three-hour radio show here. Otherwise, like all of our other guests, they'll sometimes give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we talk to guests over the phone that way as well sometimes when that's what has to happen. But that's okay because it gives me a moment to tell you that you can text the keyword radio to us using the Civic Media app. We have stations and shows all across the state that on Fridays during the Brewers season are going to be giving away 4 packs of Brewers tickets to specific upcoming games. And so you have to listen to this show, to Matt and Air on Air, to Tom Hartman, to Todd Alba, to Maggie Dawn, all the usual suspects. And if you do that, then you can get that keyword, which today is radio, text it to us through the Civic Media app. We pick one randomly, and it's 4 tickets, in this case, to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us. All right, with that business out of the way, let's talk and check in now with William Garcia, candidate for State Democratic Party chair, who joins us from, I'm sure, beautiful La Crosse County, I'm guessing, William?
Absolutely.
Hey, good morning.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you for being here. Always appreciate it. How goes the run? Again, 3 candidates in the race. This is our second time through talking to all the candidates. We've come through the Congressional District Democratic Party conventions, all the county party meetings you've had to go to. What's your view of how things are going so far?
Well, I think things are going great. I've had an amazing time going to all of the county, going to all the CD conventions, talking to people about what I want to do with the party, where I think the party needs to go. And I'm hearing a lot of support. In fact, I'm actually really proud that both of the other candidates have kind of altered their platform somewhat to be a little more aligned with mine. Because of what I've been saying and how much it's how people are responding to it in terms of the need to strengthen and grow county parties. That's now a part of kind of everyone's pitch. And I'm really happy for that. And I'm going to continue going forward and talking about the need to focus on our local county parties, on our other local organizations in order to grow and build them, because that is how we're going to bring in support for 2026.
I'm not in any way, shape or form taking credit for what you're just saying there about county parties, only to say that I, like you, have been part of a chorus for the past, I don't know how many years, talking about the need for the state Democratic Party in this case, and again, the Republican Party has its own infrastructure debates like this, but that the state party needs to both listen, it works both ways, listen to the people in those local county parties and also provide them with the resources they need rather than top-down management of the party. And so when you tell me that, you know, you're saying that and that you're hearing that from the other candidates as well, I think that that only bodes well writ large for yep. not just the entire Wisconsin Democratic Party, but for, you know, voters who aren't just in the big Democratic strongholds.
Yeah. And that's what the way that we are going to flip the assembly seats that we need to flip in order to get a majority in 2026, the way that we're going to get the Senate seats and retain the governorship is by decreasing the margin of Republican support in smaller counties and rural areas. This is the path to victory. And that path goes directly through county party organizations. County parties need to be trusted that they know best how to organize in their neighborhood and how to talk to people in their county. We need to start treating county party officials like the experts they are in their neighborhoods. And that is really the basis behind my campaign. I'm the only candidate who has worked as a county party chair. I'm the only candidate who's a CD chair. I'm the only candidate who's coming from this system. And that means I'm really the only chair that knows exactly what the problems are with the kind of top-down DPW organization as it is right now and how to fix them.
Let's talk as well about the development this week. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, who had just received the endorsement from outgoing chair Ben Wickler. Joe Zepecki reacted to it yesterday. So let me ask your reaction as well to Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in this race and doing so for Devin Remicker.
Sure. I was kind of expecting it, to be honest. I think Ben and Devin have worked closely for many, many years, and I think that's great. The problem is that this lack of focus on the county parties is a problem that we've had for many, many years. And so like I said, I really like Devin, but I am the person who's genuinely going to focus on county parties and maintaining and growing them because I have experienced the problems that we're having over the last 6 years, and I'm the one that can really come in and fix them. Ben and Devin should be extraordinarily proud of the growth and the progress and the strength of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I'm proud of it as well. But what needs to be fixed in this current moment is this refocusing on county parties and other local organizations like our caucuses, like our Young Democrat chapters. And I am the person that can maintain everything that Devin and Ben have built while also fixing this one key issue.
It is an important thing about this race that we've all noticed is that obviously there are a lot of good things to say about Ben Wickler's tenure and certainly record, but that it wasn't perfect, that the party is not perfect. So how do you both acknowledge what's good, but also, you know, shine a light on what it is that needs to be changed? Go ahead, Willen.
Oh, I was just also going to say, I want to remind everyone that the Wisconsin Democrats are on the forefront in the country in terms of the strength of their party. The Wisconsin Democrats are stronger and more active than just about any Democratic Party in the country. And what that means is that we're often the first to do things. We are the vanguard. We are out in front on everything. And sometimes that means that we make mistakes because we don't have any examples to pull from. And so in this wonderful growth that Ben Wickler and Devin have built, we have left the county parties behind a little bit. And that's the thing that needs to be addressed right now.
I have to ask you about a hypothetical that may not come to be, but is going to be very important for the next chair if it does. And that deals with Governor Tony Evers, who has not made a decision yet on running for a third term. If he does not, the easiest guess to make that I'm about to make here is that much like in 2018, when he first ran, it was him and more than a dozen other Democrats running for governor. If Tony Evers decides not to run for a third term, there will almost certainly again be upwards of a dozen people running. Not the worst problem to have, having a deep bench of talent. But, I mean, it's almost a logistical nightmare trying to be fair. There's county chairs who are going to want to endorse somebody, but maybe they shouldn't, either because of county rules or state rules. I mean, let's face it, whether you get elected or not, if you stay active in the party, that is a bit of a minefield that Democrats have to be looking at if the governor decides not to run for re-election.
Well, and honestly, it's a minefield that I've experienced already, because here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have had strong, robust primaries with multiple candidates the last 3 cycles. So we are, I am experienced with working on that. My preference is always, and in fact, what I will be arguing and mandating as chair is that the state party should be providing resources and the infrastructure that helps every one of the candidates who wants to run for governor speak directly to voters without preference towards any one of them. I do not want a party that puts its finger on the scale in terms of trying to decide before the voter gets to decide who's going to be the who's going to win that primary. It's up to the voters. That kind of primary, it motivates our base. It brings out the best vision for the moment. And that's what a lot of primaries are. Primaries are not about which candidate do I, you know, really love or whatever. It's about, because they're all great. It's about who is
We're talking to William Garcia. He's a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. That decision will be made in Wisconsin Dells the middle of next month at the state Democratic Party convention, where, as the party announced yesterday, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock will be the keynote speaker on the first night of the convention. And I'm sure, William, you agree that that's a pretty good get for a party that is plenty motivated, but wouldn't mind hearing from Senator Warnock as well.
It's a wonderful get. I've been lucky enough to hear Senator Warnock speak in the past. He's an incredible speaker. Makes me a little, excited as well, because that means I'll actually be sharing a stage with Senator Raphael Warnock, because all 3 of the candidates also give small speeches that night in support for their campaigns. So I'll get to present with Senator Warnock.
The big news this week in terms of 2026 politics was that appeals court judge Chris Taylor is getting into the race for a state Supreme Court. We, of course, have to acknowledge that there may be more candidates. It is very early yet. But if this were to be the field with appeals court judge Taylor versus Justice Rebecca Bradley, you know, from the far right end of the Supreme Court bench, that is a, I guess all I'm saying is that would be a competitive race, and that's really what you're looking for, is a competitive race against a well-tenured state Supreme Court justice.
A competitive race against also the most extreme conservative candidate on the bench. That's what we need to be thinking about. This race is not going to be the $100 million race that we had last year, because it is not going to flip the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court like the last 2 Supreme Court elections have done. So it's going to be, and that means that we need to be, again, my plan, focusing on growing and strengthening county parties, because our county party volunteers and our county party officials are going to be vital in getting the message out about Chris Taylor. Because again, the money that poured into Wisconsin the last 2 Supreme Court cycles will not be replicated, because the ideological makeup of the bench is not at stake.
We are talking to William Garcia. He's candidate for state Democratic Party chair. There are three candidates in the race, and that decision will be made by delegates at the state Democratic Party convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. And we've been very privileged to be able to go through two rounds of interviews with the candidates here so far, and we'll continue to talk about the issues that are important to it. Before we go to break, let me tell you that, again, we have a Brewers tickets giveaway. Text the keyword radio to us via the Civic Media app. There will be one entry drawn statewide to win four tickets to next Tuesday evening's game against the Boston Red Sox. You can get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us, and we will do this most Fridays throughout the course of the season. We'll pause here. I'm Pat Kreitlow reminding you that keep that Pledge of Allegiance in mind this weekend. All of it, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Next week on the program, well, for Monday, it'll be a holiday, Memorial Day, so we'll have some of our best of segments that we've aired over the past couple of weeks here. On Tuesday, we'll have author Laura Bird, and she will talk to us about upcoming summer reads, some of her recommendations that you might want to take to the beach or wherever you're going this summer, and a bit more about how you can learn about the upcoming new books the way that she does. Dan Schaefer will be here on Tuesday as well. Oh, no, I take that back. Dan Schaefer will be on Wednesday of next week because he's taking an extended weekend. Also on Wednesday, we'll talk to Matt Brusky from Citizen Action, part of a coalition of groups that are going to urge Governor Tony Evers to veto a state budget bill if it does not make adequate investments into education and other important areas, not just a line item veto. They want him to veto the whole bill and send it back and make the legislature start over if it's not up to certain standards. We'll ask Matt what those standards are and what would trigger that kind of an ask of the governor. And then on Thursday, money and markets news from Sean O'Malley, Melissa Baldoff with our climate check, and much more all throughout next week here on the program across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's continue our conversation now with William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair out of the 3rd Congressional District and La Crosse County. And William, I kind of jumped into the state of the race and everything. And so for folks who might have missed it in the first go round of interviews, I just want to ask the straight up why you're running question 101. William Garcia, there are three candidates in this race. What makes you the best choice to be state Democratic Party chair?
I'm running on a three-word platform: grow, persist, resist. And what that means is grow. I want to focus on growing and strengthening county parties and other local organizations like our Young Democrat groups, our College Democrat groups, as well as our DPW caucuses. I think in the explosive growth of WISDEMS over the last 6 years, these groups have been left behind a bit, and they need a lot more support, not just financial, but also in terms of infrastructure, communications, digital assistance. There are all sorts of things that county parties and these other local groups need. I especially want to focus on Young Democrats of Wisconsin. Here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have more college students than any other congressional district in the state. And that's and I've worked very closely with our college Dems to grow and expand their chapters. Here in La Crosse, we also have the only official chapter right now of Young Democrats of Wisconsin. And I want to make sure that we have Young Democrats chapters across the state, because that's how we're going to bring young people in, by empowering them and letting them talk about their issues and organize in ways that make sense to them. Persist means we're going to persist doing all the things DPW does wonderfully. The fundraising juggernaut that DPW is, we're going to keep going with that. Keeping a national media focus on Wisconsin, which drives our fundraising as well as motivates our volunteers. And this really strong connection between the governor, the assembly Democrats, the state Democrats, and DPW. So we're all working closely together to win that trifecta in 2026. And resist means that as chair, I will be the loudest voice in the room against the Trump agenda and Republican policies hurting Wisconsin families. I've been very disappointed in the lackluster response by national Democrats to the existential threat that is Trump. And as chair, I will spend every day calling out Republicans for the harm they're doing us and explaining to people why Democrats have a better way forward.
Let's take a moment then to go from the very highest level, state party chair, down to the local level of the newest members. People hear this, and I'm sure a lot of folks are not active in their local county parties. What does it mean to do that? If people keep hearing us talk about that and go, gosh, maybe I should look into my county. I didn't even know there was. Is there a county party in every county?
There is absolutely a county party in your area. We have county parties in every county. Some are small, but most are very robust, even in smaller counties, even in places that vote overwhelmingly Republican. You have very close to you a Democratic Party that is working closely and working on local issues in local areas. And joining really just means come to a meeting. Every one of our counties have a monthly meeting. And you can just show up. You don't need to be a member to walk in. You can just show up and see what we're doing. And county parties are responsible for organizing these meetings, but they're also responsible for, you know, organizing the door knocking and the phone calling and the postcard writing that we do. They organize town halls and listening sessions. There is so much that these county parties do. And these county parties are really the front line connections with Wisconsin voters.
And by the way, again, like you said, it takes nothing to drop in and get to learn more about it. Yes, you can become a dues paying member, extremely affordable, all the various levels that are out there. But this is just that one more form of civic engagement that you can choose to do. There's many ways to do it, but I think more folks need to know they've got a county party that they can take part in.
And it is vital. And again, the county parties are truly where all of the amazing organizing happens with WISDEMS. It is these conversations that emanate out of the county party that really drive our voter persuasion, our voter engagement, and our voter turnout.
William Garcia, candidate for State Democratic Party Chair. It's really great to touch base with you again, William. Safe travels as you continue campaigning on your way to Wisconsin Dells next month, and we'll check in again real soon.
That sounds great. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Thank you, William, again so very much. William Garcia and Devin Remaker and Joe Zepecki are the three candidates who are running for State Party Chair to succeed Ben Wickler. All right. Coming up next, we've got Matt Nair on air. Jane and Greg will be along right after the news here. And then after Tom Hartman, you'll have, Todd Alba. And no lie, Todd Alba doing the show from right over here on the back deck overlooking Lake Wissota. We thought about doing a pontoon show, and it's not to say we might try a pontoon ride afterwards, but I think we're going to be nice to our engineering team and just have a nice stable signal from the back deck. So 2 to 4 today, the Todd Alba Show. My thanks to today's guests, William Garcia, Kristen Lyerly, Kia Vakil, Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, and of course to you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. I'm the founding editor of Up North News. That's part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom. Building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media and sign up for our newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Tuesday morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.